This morning, I have something I was looking at, but also, first of all, I got to know some of you through the youth meetings, and so I know some connections here, which is good, but hopefully that is continuing on through your life, you know, just a testimony that there was a young man from our congregation that was at the youth meetings, and nothing really happened to him till he got home Monday morning at work. He worked at the same place as I do. He got under conviction and broke at the job, and he called his dad and apologized and repented and called his mom later, and his dad last Sunday still couldn't talk about it. You know, tears running down his face, and you know, he was so broken up. He said all week long there was repentance going on in his house. And just the other night, Thursday evening, we met the ministry, and he was there. He's part of the ministry team, and he said that this was what happened at the youth meeting. It was absolutely critical that it did happen. You know, when you see that God has to break through, when you see that it's now. You know, like this young man had started down the wrong road, unbeknownst to many of us, and he got caught. He got home before he got caught, but real revival will follow us. So I want to encourage us all as we seek for revival. There's one thing I see sometimes we pray for revival like this. Lord, we need revival. In other words, I'm praying because I want to get out of the mess I had created for myself, and I want to get out of that. But when revival comes, it comes with the purpose of God. It is His purpose. It's for His purpose. It's for His glory. And so many times we're playing around the edges with the idea of revival. We would love to have a little bit. We would love Him to come and just fix my mess. But when He comes, it's going to be for His purpose. And yes, it will take you out of your mess. But that is not the goal that we're looking at. Because we want Him to come. Because He needs to come. He needs to show up like He did at the youth meeting, unexpectedly. Or should we say, we better have been expecting. And so we almost say unexpectedly, but I have felt it before the youth meetings that whoever comes seeking will go home with being received what He had for them. And I believe that. Could it be that some walked away without even being touched? Possible, sadly. But here today, you know, this is our life every day, and we want to go through some things here today. I'm going to get down to earth. And some of the homework that we all have responsibilities in doing. And it's interesting what your men are studying on, because my title is Act Like Men and Women. I added that women because I believe it includes all of us. So I was a little struggling with my title. I could call it Covenant Relationships. But once I heard that, I knew the answer was Act Like Men and Women. And so here in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14, it says in an English Standard Version, because that's the one that says act like men. In the King James, it says quit like men. I don't get the meaning of a quit and act to be the same thing. So it is when you look it up in Greek. But I'm going to read out of the English Standard for this sake. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. And so this morning I'm going to start off on that. And so what is our responsibility as we act like men? We're watchful, we stand firm. When we look at the perverse and the crooked nation we're living in at this time, and we always were, I guess. But the point is it becomes more real as we go through life. But that we stand guard, we keep the faith. We're representing God's principles and precepts and in keeping of his doctrine sound. You know, that we do that. You know, a sound doctrine. What do we believe in? Not in many different ways. You know, so often we hear, well, I believe this way, you can believe that way. I don't believe that way. You know, I don't. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and however he tells us to go there, we all started at a different roads maybe. We all came from this or came from that, but together in the end, it's all going to be those ones that get to heaven. Is their focus and faith is on Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. So sometimes we almost act like there's many different ways to heaven. But I'm here to tell you again, there is only one way. And yes, if you have a problem with that, then you're on the wrong way. Okay, you make it simple. But so today, we want to look at that. We want to look at what is our responsibility as men and women, and that in a covenant relationship, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God. We have a relationship with church. Yes. And we have a relationship with marriage and family. And in that sense, that leads to our witness. Okay? And so when we see that, I would draw a picture here. I would draw a covenant relationship pointing up to God, pointing out the family and marriage, pointing over here to church, and then down to our witness. And so hopefully I can cover that reasonably. But always remember, in any message that you ever hear being preached, it is far broader than a poor preacher can preach. So when you see the picture, and you could think of 1,000 other verses maybe, and thank God you can, but I'm going to be focusing on what is on my heart and bring that out. So this morning, you know, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. I love that, because today, many of us, we're changing everything that there is. You know, we're not sure how to act, how to believe. Just go back to the Word of God. Believe that. Act upon it. You know, it's not a question, should a man be bold? Should a man be aggressive? You know, God created men to be a certain way. He created women to be a certain way. And never mess with it. You know, let it bloom. Let it be what God has created us to be. So anyways, that's the beginning verse. And I want to go through here. I'm going to read a little portion here, which I find very interesting in 1 Kings. But I have to give a lot of background, but I don't have time for that. But I'm going to read two verses here. And I debated if I should, but I will. It's about the king of Syria and king of Israel, and how he was supposed to destroy the king of Syria, and he made a deal with him and left him slip again, and the king of Syria got away with it a couple of times from the king of Israel. And the prophets were not happy with him, and he came up with maybe an allegory or a prophecy that pertained unto the king of Israel. But this is what he said in 1 Kings 20, 39 and 40. And this prophet had hidden himself and disguised himself, and when the king came by, he called after him this prophecy. As the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, "Thy servant went out in the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thou have decided it." You know, just a picture of today. Thank you. I was just thinking about that. A picture of today. You know, he was not a bad man. He was just a busy man. But busy with what? Busy isn't bad. but are we busy with the right things of God? And so to lay the foundation here, to build off what I want to say, is very important here, because we're here and there. It's amazing that's in the Bible. That's how I feel nowadays. We're running here, we're running there. We don't have time for anything anymore, and we're letting stuff slip. And it's time again, I feel stronger than ever. It's time again to rebuild the focus, rebuild our focus on Jesus Christ. Have we left it slip? Maybe you didn't, but most people have, I must admit. Because what we see happening in our nation has started in the church. And again, you know, our focus is not on correct politicians, but our focus is on the correct churches again to rise up and have that relationship with God and have a relationship with one another and have strong relationship in marriages so we can be a witness and make a difference in this world. Yes, we can, only on that order. And so today we want to look at this, because we are called. My job is not necessarily just to, my priority number one is not for my wife or my children, but my new man. The spiritual man in me, I have to feed. I cannot neglect that. I am not too busy here and there and not taking care of what God has given me. So often we're running after the old man and still trying to feed him, keep him alive, my former interests and all that. But today it is the new man that God has promised, all heaven behind it. And if I focus on that and line up with Jesus Christ on what he has given me, I can expect every single verse in the Bible to be real and alive. But if I'm still running here and there and, you know, I'm catering to this, am I still setting out food for the old man? In other words, am I still playing with things that feeds the old man? You know, I have to, in reality, when I die to myself daily, that simply means it is something I feel. It is not just, well, I'm going to die to myself today. Okay, good. I got that accomplished first thing in the morning. No. I come up to something, and I have to make a decision. That is not the way of the new man. That is not correct. That's not scripture. I have to die to it. I have to reckon it dead and reckon him alive. And so when I do that, that is a real feeling of death, of denial, of denying. You know, somehow we think sometimes, I feel that many Christians come to the place where they kind of feel, well, I'm doing that. Just like recently I heard, I don't have to pray. Like, you know, there was a preacher that was asked, do you pray? No, I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy to pray. Then he was challenged. Well, how can you minister life? And he's into the deliverance ministry and doesn't even pray. He said, well, I have access to God 24/7. Yes, we do. But do you use it? You know, that is what I feel so strongly today. Because we have access. We have access to feed this new man. We have the access to become spiritual giants. If we reckon this dead, those things that are tearing away, that keeping us, when we read the verses like, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What is the promise? You shall be filled. What is the condition? I'm hungry. What do I do when I'm hungry? I go looking for food. I look, I seek, I search. And so we need to do that in Jude, in the book of Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here we're building up ourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God. That is a condition. I don't know if I heard that for a long time. I saw that recently. It read through Jude, and it's like, wow. You know, that is what we need to do. So often we want to come along people and pat them on the back and say, you're doing okay, you're doing good, keep it up, keep it up. Hey, if you're patting on the flesh, that's what you get. But we have, it is real, to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. You know, how do you do that? Well, we enter into the Word and look at it. Is this true in my life? You read this whole winter, this past winter, I was going through the Sermon on the Mount and looking verse by verse and creating a lot of messages out of the Sermon on the Mount, because I went back to the idea, what did Jesus preach? And I figured out every verse is a full sermon, because he had a powerful impact and he was the greatest of preachers, and I'm just this little guy, you know, but I thought, I'll go back to the source. How did he preach? And I must admit, he doesn't preach like the modern preachers do today. He preached anything, it always pointed back that he considered us, you know, we denied ourselves and now we're living in the newness of life. And that is what he's pertaining to. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. You know, poor in spirit, do I want to be poor in spirit? Do I want to be that? That I'm totally leaning, dependent upon Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to lead me, to guide me, to direct me? You know, there are three things. What is duty of man is, number one, you must be born again. Then you have to be filled in the Spirit, and then you have to be led by the Spirit. And I tell you, that last one is where we find out if we're able to be led by the Spirit. When I read the verse, and I tell you, just give yourself into the Word and read it and say, Lord, this isn't real in my life. Lord Jesus, I come in repentance before you. Change that. Whatever is hindering me, take it out of me. Whatever I'm resisting, Lord, even if I don't know I'm resisting, take that out of me. Because today, if there's ever a time for the fullness of God, for healing, for miracles, for deliverances again, that people would walk into these church doors and say, I knew this church was here for a long time, but today I'm ready to get born again. There used to be a lot of testimonies like that. There's still some like that. But people knew the church down the street is the place I want to go if I want to change my life. And again, the church is so important. So let's build up, building up. Upon and building upon. When we build up ourselves up in the most holy faith, we're building upon. And this is another thing I really had a problem with over the years. So many people, you know, we build on the foundation of repentance, of laying on of hands, all that. But when we build on something, we're building off of something. And so when God shows me something in the Bible, now that is built into my foundation. And now, next thing I get, I build off of that. So many people today, they see something new in the Bible, they forsake what they have been taught before and start building anew again. I don't have to build anew every week. I build upon. That is building up. Because we're always starting over. I don't want to start over. I'm sure Jim doesn't either. We came a long way. But you know, we're building off of what he has taught us. I don't forsake some because I think, well, that is more glittering than that. Everything together is what I want. I want the fullness of Christ. And somehow we came to believe if I want somehow the word, the printed word of the gospel is somehow a hindrance for me to find freedom. I tell you, that is a wrong idea and it has to go. Because if I'm afraid, you know, the word says this, and, you know, but this seems to be a hindrance because I'm hanging on to the doctrines, what the word has. I'm not talking about doctrines of man. I'm talking about the doctrines that are clearly in Scripture. So let's build ourselves up. Let's believe. Keep the faith. Be sound in doctrine. Don't be wishy-washy, you know, like so many people. You know, what do you believe on this? We need to be bold. because we believe this. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Actually, I have that verse in there later. But we're not ashamed. We can't be ashamed because Jesus is ashamed of us. We can look at, why do you dress the way you do? Because right here, you know, there could be, you know, like I often say to people in Africa, you know, one of their favorite colors was bright orange. And I assume that's not the favorite color in a Mennonite church. But there's nothing wrong with the color because the Bible doesn't talk about it. Okay, so the point is, sometimes there's differences like that, but modesty and all that is the same wherever you go. You know, there could be different types, but there's only one way. If you're in there to show yourself off, you're wrong. Mark 8, 35, 37. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This was something I was just stuck in here because I felt it goes with this, but I was actually working on a full message on what a man gives in exchange for his soul. What do we give? You know, if somebody comes selling me something wild, comes in here and says, why don't you believe like this? It's usually not that I have struggled with. It is what I lust for. It comes from within. So what is it that I would exchange for my soul today? What is it? Hopefully nothing. But, you know, that is where we're at so often. Because it says, whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. It is completely opposite and contrary to how we do things. But, you know, I give myself fully to Christ. I don't understand it. I just say, Lord, whatever. You know, here I am. I know what you're asking of me. I know this is what it says. It doesn't feel good. I want to lash out. I want to talk bad about people. But I know you're asking me to break and humble myself and be a life giver instead of a helper, an agitator, you know, or something like that. Because it is so critical today, so critical, that we lose ourselves. And that's what one way to lose ourselves and define life is to not do what our first instincts are sometimes and what we hear and what we do with it. But I want to build up. And we want to get into more of that, but let me move through here. Proverbs 29, 18. For there is no vision of people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know, now I'm going to talk a little bit on marriage. We're married almost 36 years. And this is one thing I learned the hard way. So I don't think there's anything I can say that my wife wouldn't approve of. And if she wouldn't, she would tell me afterwards. So it's all settled. But I remember when we first got married, you know, what is that? You know, our marriage is something God put together. God, it's a covenant. It is an agreement. That's what marries us. Nothing else. And so we have this agreement by our words, and God takes that covenant, and that is a lifelong relationship between us. And so, but at first, I would get irritated by little things. And, you know, my wife would go and spend money, and I didn't have any, and it would upset me. She would come home, and I would be irritated, that was a long time ago. Okay. Anyways, but just want to make that clear too. But we had to work through that because she would go out and she didn't know what to do. She didn't know what she knew sometimes. She didn't know Should you buy this or shouldn't you buy this? Or, you know, I didn't want to share my financial mess I was in. I didn't want to open that up because she wanted to know. I didn't want her to know. But as soon as God dealt with me, he broke upon me in a financial teaching that I actually opposed of before the church did it. I said, why do we need a financial teaching? Well, sorry. I got caught in real revival because I left myself be taught. I accepted it. I saw my need. I went home and faced I called them those big monsters that were after me. They were just about going to get me. And I turned around and those things melted fast. You know, it was me taking leadership, act like a man. And I went to my wife. We sat down. We went over things. We cleared things up. We, you know, our money, this is our goal. I gave her a vision. This is what we want to do in the future. This is where we're headed. This is what has to happen. And to this day, that settled her frustration. That settled my frustration because now we were both acting like men and women that God wants. Because it's so easy. You don't want to owe up to it. But the only one way to change. And then after that point, when I saw that happening, I looked at my debt. I added it up for the first time. And we made changes because now every dollar had a place to go. And we were on a budget a little bit. We're not on a so-called budget today, but every dollar better knows where it's going. It is for the purpose right now today. We have things, we look ahead, you know, okay, we probably in a year or two we need to buy another vehicle, but, you know, or something like that. We know what's coming up, and we also know that surprises come along the way. But after that, it just settled so much. It was so clear. But anyways, I figured out I had 20 years to pay off my debt because according to what I was making at that time, just started a new business, and it's going to take me 20 years. 4 years later, I was out of debt. A year later, I was on the mission field. Surprise? Yes. I was surprised. God wasn't. Because he was planning. Every step I take was ordered by the Lord. It says that in the Bible. Every step. And so every step was ordered. I didn't know. We were praying for an outreach. We were praying for that. And another thing, we had 5 foster children at the time. And we were adopting them. We knew we couldn't go on a mission field. We paid off our debt. And in 1 year, all 5 got adopted. And off we went to Africa. And I tell you, I'm just encouraging you. I'm not saying all debt is bad. We all have times we have some. But I tell you, if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit, then you need to bring it under. I don't care how bad it looks. You just surrender that to Christ today and act like a man, owe up to it, and walk it out. Because God can do miracles only if you line up to him. You know, if I'm walking to a shower today, I'll take a shower, but I can stand beside it and say I took a shower, and you wouldn't believe me, hopefully, because I can say I touched it with one finger, and I got wet. I know it was water, but that is so much how Christians want to play around the edges and say, well, I want God's blessing. Oh, he touched me, but did he change you? Because that's what it needs to be when we get into the fullness of it. So the vision that you lay out, men, to your wives, lay it out. This is our vision. This is our goal. This is what we want to do. Because those 4 years that we were paying off our debt, we cut back on this. We canceled that. We were living like beyond our means. And we tried to corral that back into our means. We didn't go cold turkey on everything. But, you know, instead of ordering pizza in once a week, we did it every other week. Anyways, just we know how that feels. But anyways, so stuff like that. We took care of stuff. But one thing I knew, God had called me so much. That was such a revival in my life, such a of God coming into my life, that I had that calling. If that takes the rest of my life, I'm fully walking in the calling of God. Carnal? No. Spiritual? Yes. Because sometimes we want to think of money as carnal. But I tell you, when he called me to do that, that was his step, that was his focus, that was my focus, and it was my focus. And that's what it means to act like men and women. You know, some, I feel for you. Some of you are in bad shape or aren't. I have no idea. I'm a stranger here. But I can feel for you. But I'm just asking you, give it over and talk it through. Make a plan and ask God to help you out of it. That is all I'm asking. And I think that's all God is asking. So when you give a financial vision to your wife and a doctrinal vision, does my wife know where I stand? Well, of course, she hears me preach so often that she knows who I am because I'm the one that teaches on a lot of subjects. And but men, does your wife know how you stand on why do we wear the head covering? Because it's in the Bible. It didn't come from the Amish or the Mennonites. It was long in there before they came along. So, why do we do this and different things? And, you know, I'd use that. That's an easy one to use. Sorry about that. But there's so many other doctrines I didn't have in my mind beforehand. But so many things. Do you know? Do you know what they expect? Do you know? Do I live what I believe then? Do I violate that? No, we better not. We act like men. We're strong in the faith. We build ourselves up in the most holy faith. You know, that's what we need to do. And by the way, I'm talking, there are a lot of young people here too. And you can get a lot of lessons from this when I talk about marriage. Prepare yourself to be that wife. My wife is very aggressive. She was very a people person. You know, even to this day, sometimes she's walking, we go walk in our neighborhood, and she calls out to the neighbor and say hi. Oh, those flowers look nice. You didn't have to say that. It's good. Okay. But, you know, I'm a bashful person. Yes. Some of you are questioning that at the moment. Not behind the pulpit. Okay. We'll settle that. But I was very bashful. I didn't have many friends. My wife was very outgoing, and she brought me out a long way. And so we had to learn to work together. And that covenant, that it was such a blessing. We were hardly had anything in common. You know, she would have went skydiving, but I would have never. I wouldn't even watched her do it. You know, it's just not. Anyways, my daughter, even Bev that was just had a baby, she did it. And I was so nervous at home. I was watching the clock. I knew right when they're going to jump. And since I didn't hear any disaster report, I figured they landed safely. So that's who I am. But I want nothing more than all of God. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not shying from it. Does it hurt sometimes? Absolutely. Do I get stabbed sometimes? Do I get backstabbed sometimes? Absolutely. Everything that happens, I want to know what God is doing. Not what that guy that just said it is doing, but what God is doing. Why did he allow that? Can I come to a place as a man that gossip and backbiting doesn't offend me anymore? I tell you, it's a goal of mine. I'm not saying I made it yet, but it's a goal. Because what does still have to break in me if I'm offended about somebody criticizing me? What has to break? Something. Okay. You know, what is your point of reference? What is your point of reference when you talk about marriage? When we talk about marriage, do I point to, boy, we can't point to the world. And sadly, we can't point to most of the church. But we got to point to the reference point. We have become one flesh, and God's going to hold us accountable. That's the point of reference. What is our point of reference? How to dress? The other Mennonite church down the road? The world? Whatever Walmart has in stock? No. It is if I am still dressing for people to see me instead of seeing Christ. 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Now, I'm going to use this for a point. Now, I can guarantee where you get hung up on, but I'm going to read from the Bible. It's off of this paper, but it's in the Bible. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and putting on of a pearl. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, where people get hung up on is, that's not a commandment, let it not be. Okay. But you know where freedom is? Let it be. Do you get hung up on the first verse and not on the second? Because we're over here, and somehow we're over here. Well, it's not really a commandment, let it not be. I don't know how you can break it down that it's not, but let it not be. So I have a line here, and I'm over here. Well, I don't think this is wrong, do you? Well, maybe a little bit this way. I really wouldn't go there, but over here, I don't. But it does say, let it be. What does it say? The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God at great price. And so we're flirting over here when we should be over here. And I tell you, we spent way too much time addressing that and not helping people into this. Let it be. What is a quiet spirit? I'm not just talking about women this morning, but this refers to women, but it is also referring to men. And it doesn't refer to just single or married people. It refers to all. Quiet. It hit me here recently. I thought, quiet? I know what quiet means. Be quiet. And so I looked it up. And surprisingly and shockingly, it holds out. You are, if you have a quiet spirit, you are undisturbed and undisturbing. I love that. You know, are we those people? We're not disturbed. We know who we believe in. We have settled. We have built ourselves up. We know God is coming back. I'm not going to exchange my soul for something that is not heaven. I am giving myself fully to this gospel. I'm not disturbed when people come. Well, what is going to happen to this world? What's going to burn up? Okay, I'm not disturbed because it says so. And I'm not disturbing to others. If you are disturbed, you will be disturb other people. I'm undisturbed and I'm disturbing. And I tell you, if we have that quality of a quiet and gentle spirit, gentle means it's harness, a gentleness and meekness about the same, but it's like a, you get a wild stallion and he is powerful, he looks powerful, you want to get him, you want to train him, you want to break him, and but once you put harness on him, he's still the same powerful horse. But now it is under control and directed to the purpose of the master. That's a gentle spirit. You know, if I don't have that gentle spirit, I'm wild, unpredictable, never contained. It's not gentle. It's the opposite. But so sometimes we're afraid when something puts harness on us, when something puts restrictions on us, that we're afraid that we're losing our power. Not if God is putting it on you. It will just direct it. All that power is not going to be used towards God for his purpose, for his glory. And my, we will look at those people and say, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. That is what I want. Years ago, I often thought like this. I would love to be like those great men of God. But Lord, is there a shortcut? I don't want to go what they went through. I read about their journey. But I would love to be like them in the end. Could you just make me like that tomorrow? And we could skip all that red tape? And I can guarantee you, there's no shortcut. I know I'm still on a journey. I'm still alive. But the point is, I know already there is no shortcut. If you become a person that God is just glowing over and you are full of him and letting that glory return to him, there's a journey. And I love to hear those testimonies. It's always fun to say, tell a story or a testimony of something we went through in the mission field. But it was not fun when the story was being made. So never forget that. When you hear some glorying stories, I want that. I want that in my life. Okay? Are you ready for it? It's going to be painful. Now, just quickly, I don't know how long your attention span is here. But the church, how important is the church? I just want to bring, because we're a body, we are part of the body of Christ, and we are part of one another, so it's a covenant relationship we have been born into. If you look at these panels up here, I'm not sure that might be all one panel, but let's say these are all individual strips. If I would take one out of here, it would be a missing piece that everybody would notice. That is what we are in Christ. We have been brought into the body of Christ. And so if I'm missing, ever put a puzzle together and there was that last, you came to the end, there's one missing piece. You don't even talk about that puzzle. It was not complete. But Christ is coming back for a church that is complete. There's no missing piece. So then you can have the argument, well, I'm going to go, I'm part of the church. I don't really get along with you guys, but I'm part of the general church. Okay, you got to accept me, but I can't accept you. That is not God. It's very easy. And so how can I operate, how can I minister in the gifts that God has given me except knowing you? And somehow getting to know you. That's how I can minister to you. I cannot minister to the people in China this morning. I can say I'm part of the African church. I can't. I'm not there. I don't know what's there this morning. Well, I can't minister to them, but I can minister to you. And so never forget that. The gifts are not needed for anybody that doesn't go to church. So sometimes people are, I need gifts, I need gifts. Yes, you do. For what purpose? For the guy beside you, and you esteem each other better than thyself. If you can do that, you're a blessing. If you're always, give me, give me, give me, then it's not. Every person, I preach one time in a homeless shelter, a couple times, but I was preaching and my message was shockingly, almost cruel. I said, the way out of your condition is to give your way out of it. I'm not talking prosperity. I'm talking that you give, you help, you bless, you build somebody up, you give somebody a hand, you give somebody a smile. Sometimes we have nothing left but a little bit. Sometimes when we're down, we have nothing, but maybe what can I do? Because when I give, I will be built up in the most holy faith. And I tell you, you know, how we measure, I could find that. I don't go by my notes necessarily. I have it in here somewhere. But in Matthew 7, 2, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And at the youth meeting, I preach on the tongue. This is similar. This is, I came across this since the youth meeting. And I tell you what, sometimes we complain about our brothers and sisters. Why doesn't Dave give me back what I give him? You know, he's probably giving back what I give to him. You know, how I measure out to him. Because the Bible verse that says, measure it, you're shaken together. You know, that's in Mark, I believe, shaken together, overflowing and all that. And then it ends with this verse, ends with this context, how you measure it shall be measured to you again. We were always in produce over the years, and we would always make sure, my dad always taught me that you make sure your quart boxes are full. And some people say it was a quart and a half. But the point is, it was overflowing, it was shaken together, it was full. And so how do I give to my brothers and sisters? Well, I can. You really can. You know what I need some days? Just a smile. I know. And Jim was saying how some of those little texts, some of those little words. Because you know what hurts? When somebody says one bad word about you, that hurts too. But how am I measuring out to you? How are you measuring out to each other? And I tell you, this is so critical. And this is how we got to act like men and women. We got to build each other up. The way to tear each other down is to be negative about everything that goes on. Because when I go home, and yes, we have our struggles. And prayer meeting, I go to prayer meeting, and then I hear others say, I'm not going, nobody goes anyways. It hinders me. It doesn't stop me, but it sure takes the life out of me. Now, what is missing? Because I want to go. We want to pray. We need to break through. We have a victory. If you were all today go out and our faith was life and death, if nothing breakthrough next till in 2 weeks, you're going to be all dead. I guarantee we could pray. And that's what we need. Not that, but what we need is a purpose to pray. And we need to pray that way. Because God is willing to answer again if there are men and women that are willing to stand up and act like they have faith in Jesus Christ. Because what we need to see again is that, because we need to be that witness in our marriage, in our relationship with one another. How did they know they've been the early apostles? They knew them because they were with Jesus. They reminded them of, you have been with Jesus, but then the church, They know because we love one another. And okay, I want to say something. Just came to my mind, so let's be careful. This church's purpose is not what happened in the past. This church's purpose is what God has for you in the future. Don't forget that. God wants you to know that. And what he wants you to know is, it is not, we're not just saying, but this is who we are. No, this is who we are. Because a church, every church has stuff we don't want to talk about. But the point is, every church, Jesus came, he cleanses, he refines, he sets the fire to it. And everything that's going to be real is going to remain. And that is what we do. We don't listen to the negative, but we build up because we want to see the glory of God. We are here for his purpose. And I tell you, if everybody else is dead, but I'm alive, that's a really good mission field. And instead, you know, it feels so hard. I don't feel like going because nobody, everything's so dead. Well, since you're so smart and knowing that everything is dead, bring life to it. Sorry for my bluntness, but that's who I am. Anyways, not forsaking the assembly yourself together as the matter of some is, and exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here in Hebrews 10:25, we see something, and we could say, well, I can't always make it. Well, yeah, maybe you can't. But the point is, it is to exhort one another. That's the point. So how can I exhort one another? And if I see that need, I'd be very much careful in what I do and what I don't do. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, in the ESV, it says, now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. You know, when you think Christ is coming back for his body, I am part of that. I'm not everything. I'm just part of it. All you are part of the body of Christ. So how could I? And I tell you, how critical it is we speak against the body of Christ. Well, I'm just speaking against somebody. I'm not sure. But, you know, we all are on a different level in our journey. And maybe some of you are ahead of me. Some of you maybe are behind me. I don't know. Probably all ahead of me. But, you know, so how do I look at everybody? And very careful, I tell you what, that's a mission I'm on in the last year, that I'm very careful with what I say, what I pass on, how I come across, because it's the body of Christ. King of kings. And I'm touching one of you. Are there some are hypocrites in the church? Yes. And they better be. Where else would he go to get saved? Okay, just settle that one. Because so often we say, too many hypocrites in the church. This was a charismatic friend of mine, a salesman I met years ago. He was telling me that one time. He said, you meet all these people on the street and they say, I don't want to go to church because they're full of hypocrites. He said, that's where they belong. How else would you use your wonderful gifts of the Spirit? How else do we need a gift of discernment? You know, what a grounds, what a field of developing spiritually is we're called. It doesn't matter what comes in, we have the tools if we surrender to it. But build each other up. And then to be a witness to the world, yet Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You know, how sad. How How sad that is if Christ would have to turn away from us because he's ashamed of us. It says it. He said it. I don't understand that. You know, we always want to argue that somehow we're going to make it. For an example, I don't want anything to do with God here. I don't get along with his people. But I'm a Christian. I was saved when I was 8 years old. And I'm a Christian. And somehow, if you think that one through, somehow, God is going to have a separate room in heaven for those that don't like him. Think through that one. I am against the... I can't even get the word. But that doctrine that everybody, you get saved, you're saved. But are you saved? I believe that. I believe once we're in Christ's hands, yes, we are very secure. Can I walk away? Yes, I believe that. And so what I'm saying with this is, you know, when you really think through how some people act and somehow they're going to go to heaven, why would you want to be in heaven with a God you couldn't stand here on earth? I mean, this is serious. And this is, again, how we need to act and proclaim in our marriages, in our children. I didn't have time to go through everything, but in our children, in our families, we are called, we have a direction, we have a commission to present the gospel and make it clear. It's their decision how they follow it then, because it's their decision if they accept it or not. I can't force my children, but I better present it. And there shouldn't be a question in their mind what Dad believes. And so today, as I bring it to a close, I just want to, you know, with our marriage commitment, well, number one, in our relationship with God, our relationship in marriage. And we love, my best friend is my wife. I don't have other buddies that top that. It's my wife. When we have a little bit went through an empty nest and one of our daughters is living at home again, we're looking forward to that. We're not going to be lost what to do. When we go out to eat, we always like to watch couples because you can see if they're married or not. If they talk, they're eating and not talking. And these others are talking, you think, wonder if they're married. You know, maybe we don't have as much to talk anymore, but to take her out to eat, and even if I don't have much to talk, that's my wife, and I'm proud of her. And we try to talk because we know how it looks, so we're trying to work at that again. Because sometimes, you know, when we go out, we don't want to talk about the pressures of the day, about the problems we have to work through, and sometimes there's nothing else to talk about. So I'll say it straight. But anyways, in our marriage, that we are, people know it, people that know us know we're one. In our children, we know, we present the gospel clearly, powerfully to them also. And in our relationship with God, in our church body relationship function, I really encourage you. It is one of the greatest things I've seen in the last year that has deteriorated very much so. I'm not talking about some gushy, false love that you want to praise each other. I want to tell you, where there is praise due, don't hesitate, but don't overdo it. But typically be there. There's nothing better than look across the congregation and knowing that person doesn't hardly talk, but he is always there. When I was pastor in Africa, I knew exactly who wasn't there, and it bothered me. And I tell you, because when they backslid, they didn't go to church. Because they were not, we sometimes backslide and keep on going to church because we were raised in church. But I knew when they backslid, they wouldn't come to church. And it was always my heart. I knew exactly where they were saved out of. I knew exactly where to go back to. And it wasn't pretty. But that heart to know that somebody, I have a friend that was always in church, and he hardly talked. He was just there. He was always there. You knew he was with you. And I tell you, support your leadership and be there for them. Talk things through if there are things to talk through. Don't be afraid of it. Come across. Like I asked an old gentleman, an old preacher, about 15 years ago or 12 years ago, I asked an old preacher how to handle something. Well, he said, you should go to the leadership and bring that issue up. But then he said something I'll never forget. But let them in the driver's seat. You don't take over. So today, I just want to wrap it up. I know it's late. I don't know how late you guys go. But I usually try to keep my message under an hour and at least 59 minutes. And it's probably right. But I just want to strongly encourage you as you go from here. A witness is connected to your marriage, connected to your family, and connected to your relationship with God. God first, obviously, marriage and family. That produces the witness that will shake a world that's walking away, that's turning the right to wrong, and what was used to be wrong is now right, and we cannot in any way put a little bit, lean a little bit that way. It is back again to the point of reference. This word is still true. And I can't understand it, how so many of the people, you know, some of the conversation in the recent years is how many people say, well, you can believe that. No, I want you to believe it too. This word is still true. And far as I know, this word is going to judge me. We have been given no other way to live by. The Holy Spirit comes and confirms this word. Not some other word. Not some new way. Well, today, we're in a modern age. Well, you read this word is as modern as it comes. When I look at what all happening in the world today, it is clearly spelled out for 2021. And I tell you, in the last year, this is why I feel so much negative. We had a COVID crisis, pandemic, and probably man-made, way it looks today. I'm not focused on that. And then we had an election that was divisive. And everything turned negative. Negative. You know, we started, Christians. One pastor said that he used to know people a year ago, and he hardly recognizes them today. They used to be gentle, meek, and quiet. And now they've taken on the social justice system. And now they are radical and proclaiming their own rights. It doesn't change. We're undisturbed and undisturbing. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. In other words, let not the world affect us. Let's just humble ourselves and ask God to break us again. Because where am I at in my marriage? Where am I at in our relationship? Even if it includes finances, children, upbringing, doctrine, beliefs. Where am I getting what I'm saying? What am I passing on? What are people seeing from my life when they talk with me? What comes out? Exactly what's in my heart. Lord Jesus, we just come this morning and just present ourselves fully to you. And Lord, again, we ask you that you will now come and make your word real to us. Lord, preaching can't do it alone. Lord, we ask you now to come and just come upon us. And again, Lord, open our hearts to believe beyond even what we're comfortable with. But Lord Jesus, take us beyond ourselves. And again, that we esteem others better than ourselves. And that we proclaim you like we never did before, because you're still true. It's still your word. In the end, everybody will understand. Even the mockers of today will know that you're true. Lord, there's nobody going to be missed. And Lord Jesus, please, Lord Jesus, just guard me that I do not lean, I do not give in to all the mockery about your name today. Let me not one moment give myself to it. But Lord, strengthen me, build myself up in the most holy faith. And Lord, give us a passion again to proclaim the gospel, to live the gospel. Lord Jesus, that's my passion, that we can live it in a way that again, that signs and wonders will follow your word. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for a sign and wonder here with Brother Jim. And Lord, we thank you for that. But Lord, there's much more. There's much more in each of our families. There's much more that we put you first in all things. We seek you first. And Lord Jesus, bring that conviction upon us. Lord, again, Lord, bring us to a place that we are just broken before you, but yet at the same time powerful in your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us throughout this week. And Lord, bless us with more. And Lord, continue to bring back and to take us deeper. Let your word penetrate the darkest place in our lives and bring light to it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.